Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Okay, I'll start, right? Okay, this is Mike Brennan.
And this is Matt Rausch. And you are listening to the M Squared TechCast.
So much for the hand signals and stuff.
Yeah, you know? We got a great show for you today anyway, even though we're kind of off to a rough start here,
yes.
But we will recover. We've got someone from my employer here, Lawrence Technological University. We've got that's our shameless plug bell.
Yep. We got a whole bunch of them we're going to ring today.
Yeah, whenever one of us talks about their employer. We've got Amanda Lawan from Bamboo Detroit here for the first time in quite a while.
Quite a while.
We've got the monthly visit of Tim Burchea from Inforum's Engage program for second stage entrepreneurs. And then we're going to wrap up the show with networker extraordinaire Terry Bean, founder of
Motor City Connect.
Yep. Yes, that's it. But we're going to start with Xiaoping Moore, who is a molecular biologist by training and a dean of our College of Arts and Sciences at Lawrence Tech. And Dr. Moore, we recently received a grant at Lawrence Tech that is somewhat unusual, was very competitive, and I think has a very unique purpose. Tell us a little bit about that grant, please.
Okay. Our college has been very actively pursuing new technologies in teaching. And this particular methodology that we're showcasing is something called CRE, C-R-E, which stands for Course-Based Research Experience. And it is for this initiative that we were awarded $1 million grant from Howard Hughes Medical Institute. Now, Howard Hughes Medical Institute is the largest nonprofit funder of biomedical research. And usually they fund Research One universities, and in people who obtain the grant usually are about to get Nobel Prize. But two years ago, they decided to fund science education, and they opened it up to all university to apply. So about 500, more than 500 universities apply for this grant, and only 24 institutions were awarded this grant, and we're the only institution from Michigan that was awarded.
All right. So the grant is tell me a little bit about what Lawrence Tech will use the proceeds for. I know you want to change in part the way research is run at the undergraduate level at Lawrence Tech, and the overall goal is to build diversity, right?
Yes. Actually, research has found that if we use research to teach students, they're more engaged, they're more interested in expressing themselves in a cultural sensitive way. And this particular CRE initiative is to try to embed research not only in senior year of undergraduate studies, but also from freshman on in regular lecture or lab courses. So there are three distinctive aspects to this particular method of teaching. One is that we introduce research to students as early as freshman year, which is very, very unusual. And second is that we are introducing this methodology across the entire college and hopefully eventually across the entire university. And that is very unusual as well. And the third is that this is highly interdisciplinary. And we have English professors, philosophers, and science professors all using the same similar technology to teach our students. And also there are projects that are very much interdisciplinary. For example, we have a project that utilizes computer programming and algorithm to quantify arts And that is the result of this initiative.
Yeah, talk a little bit about the principal investigator on the grant, Dr. Lior Shamir. He's got some really interesting ideas about research, has over the years.
Yes, he actually came from NIH, and his postdoc field is bioinformatics. When he first came to Lawrence Tech, he decided that he is going to change his research direction to something that undergraduates can appreciate. So usually the way he start his research is by asking students, what are they interested in? So he put the he put everything on the students, and again, this is to engage students. There's nothing better than having the students come up with their own project.
Right, and a couple of the projects that he's been nationally published in, but it's what's cool about it is his undergraduate students get the top billing in the research report, and a couple of the topics have been not what you would consider traditional academic topics. There was one where he used computer algorithms to analyze Beatles music, so mm-hmm. you could see how the course of Beatles music changed between like 1959 and 1970 in terms of tonality and rhythm and subject matter and that mm-hmm. kind of thing. Another one, he took a look at millions of galaxies that we are now taking pictures of because of the Hubble Space Telescope, mm-hmm. and there aren't enough researchers in the world to analyze all these galaxies, so he put a computer on it and started classifying them and analyzing them and came up with some really interesting findings, like that galaxies aren't behaving as our current models suggest they should behave. Mm-hmm. So it was really groundbreaking research, mm-hmm. And it's not anything that he was ever formally trained in. He's just using math to analyze these
exactly.
things.
Exactly. Yeah. And he's just extremely creative in engaging students. And we have about 30% of the undergraduates who do research with him actually publish papers as an undergraduate. And that's a better record than any other university that we know of.
Yeah, pretty much it's very rare for undergraduates to get, major publications.
Correct.
So, all right, so as a practical matter, what's this going to mean for the Lawrence Tech student body going forward? What will they be able to do now that they couldn't do before?
Well, for one thing, we're hoping that this methodology will engage more underrepresented students, students who are non-traditional. So first-generation college students or working parents or transfer students from community college. Right now, our university, we don't have as many students in STEM as those students in STEM as we would like. So hopefully this grant will bring more students that are underrepresented in STEM into STEM.
Okay. And if people want more information about what they might be able to do under this program, where would they look on the Lawrence Tech website?
We have a website for our Howard Hughes Medical Institute grant, and you can find a lot of information there.
Okay. I also wanted to talk to you about a new program at Lawrence Tech this year. People think of Lawrence Tech and they think engineering and architecture and sort of hard sciences, that kind of thing. But we've also added, for the first time, a state-approved nursing program this year. Talk about that a little bit.
Okay. Yes, this is the result of 4 years of negotiation, and we finally have a excellent partnership with St. John Providence Hospital. And we were fact-tracked very, very much in a so we obtained in record time we obtained approval from the state to start our nursing program with 32 students, and this fall we have about 30 students entering this program.
Okay. And basically, they'll be doing classroom instruction at Lawrence Tech, and then the clinical stuff will be at various Providence locations.
Correct.
Okay,
correct.
Around the region.
They have 7 hospitals that we have access to.
Okay. And since there are a few commuter students at Lawrence Tech, they'll be able to choose the clinical that's most convenient for them?
Correct. Actually, clinicals are very difficult to get. And with the 7 hospitals, we're very encouraged that students will be able to find a
Can I leap in?
Sure.
What's the percentage of living on campus versus commuter? It's got to be more commuter, right?
Yeah, right now we have about 800 students living on campus out of, I think, 3,000 undergraduates, roughly.
Right.
Yeah, okay. So yeah.
So chances are a lot of these folks wouldn't come downtown to Southfield. They'd go to one of these locations, right?
Correct, yeah. Correct.
My favorite factoid, though, about the nursing program, Mike, is that we are also bringing back football at Lawrence Tech.
That was my next question.
We're gonna play a limited schedule next year in 2018 and a full varsity schedule in 2019. So we've got 43 football players on campus now. We're going to bring in another 30 or 40 or so for next year. So the entire team will be composed of, you know, redshirt freshmen and freshmen. So we're not going to play a full schedule the first year. But of those 30 nursing students, 7 of them are football players.
Ah, okay.
That's my favorite thing about the net.
Don't get cocky with those guys. Yeah, right. Well, or those women, or whatever. Yeah,
they will hit you, and then they will heal you.
Yeah,
it's
so
very,
you
know.
Yeah.
I mean, they could handle it either way. I thought it was a neat fact.
We have a very diverse population in this first cohort of 30.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I know. I was working on a story for our alumni magazine about some of the nursing students, and a lot of them are sort of not, I wouldn't call it mid-career, but they're not traditional 18-year-olds either. They're like 27 and did something else for a while.
Yeah, because we reserve a third of the seats for Providence employees, and those are mostly nurse assistants and so on. They actually enroll in the program.
So this would be a BS program?
Yes, it's bachelor degree program.
BS in nursing, and that's becoming increasingly important, right?
Mandatory, actually, I think,
yes,
right?
Yes, it becomes. So. Yeah, 80% of the of all nurses will have as a BS degree.
Because I grew up in Grand Rapids where there was a lot of nursing schools, but most of them weren't getting RNs.
That's right.
They were getting, what was it, LPN or something
LPN,
like that?
LPN, right. Yeah. Right, so. Right. Those are 2 years. And so we don't have a 2-year program. We have a 4-year program.
And the interesting thing about that also is that they're in nursing classes right away from day one. That's also unusual.
That's right. And also this is a direct admit. A lot of schools will admit you into a pre-nursing program for 2 years and then have another screening for into the real nursing program.
See if you make the cut or something, right?
Right, right. But our program is direct admit into freshmen.
Mm. Okay. And there's obviously a huge nursing shortage in Michigan, right?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. We actually, in the beginning, we were thinking about the nursing program, we thought, well, every university around us has a nursing program. So we thought maybe there will be too much competition. And it turns out that we have no problem of attracting 30 students at all. So,
Well, this is one of the ways that Lawrence Tech's trying to increase diversity. I know the program that you represent, molecular and cell biology, is another, right?
Right.
Where do those people go when they graduate? What's the career path for someone like that?
A lot of students go on to graduate schools. Some go to local industries, companies, and some go into hospitals for research positions.
Mm-hmm. But I would think, when they need a PhD for research positions?
No. For entry level positions, you can have a bachelor's.
Up.
Right.
Okay.
And usually they would work as a research assistant for a couple years and then go on to PhD.
Uh-huh. Makes sense.
Yeah, like a laboratory technician, something like that.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Well, and that's also a growing area around here. I mean, the pharmaceutical industry in Michigan, despite the fact that Pfizer has pulled some stuff out, is still going pretty strong.
That's right. Our students have no trouble finding a job.
I think anybody with technical skills has no trouble finding a job these days.
Yeah, if they want a job, they can have 3.
That's right. Yeah. Now we hear that all the time from everybody that comes in here. They're all
looking
for these folks, right?
That's right. And there are a lot of grant opportunities to increase diversity in the STEM field.
So, and I guess we're going to have another one of those science and industry nights in the spring. I know
yes,
that was pretty
are.
Successful last year.
Right.
Why don't you talk about that for just a sec?
Well, we actually typically Lawrence Tech has companies from automotive industry to come and to recruit our students. And this last year, we have actually a bunch of pharmaceutical companies as well as biotech companies come to recruit. And we had a really great show in the event, and also several different disciplines were included. One is biomedical engineering, and the other is molecular cell biology and chemical biology, and even our computer science students participated in that.
Yeah, I attended that fair last year and talked to a gentleman that owns a small company that does like laboratory media for the pharmaceutical industry. And he was talking to this one young woman that had done a project on, you know, tomato fungus or something like that. And he said, well, I'm not really interested in tomato fungus, but I am interested in the fact that she knows her way around a lab. And he wound up hiring her.
Yes, so, exactly. Yeah. Wow.
Can't beat that.
So once again, if people want more information about that program, where should they go?
About the nursing?
Yep.
Yeah, we have a website for nursing.
LTU.edu, and then you look for the nursing or the College of Arts and Sciences for more about these things generally.
Huh.
So in terms, getting back to the Howard Hughes grant, I did want to emphasize how unusual it was for us to be the only school in Michigan that
right.
got that grant. There's some pretty well-known schools in this state. So,
correct. You know. And we are very, very happy to have been awarded that. 3 years ago, if you asked me, will we get a Howard Hughes Medical Institute grant, I would say not a chance. But since they opened up to all schools, we're very pleased.
All right. We want to thank our first guest here today, Dr. Xiaoping Moore, Dean of the College of Arts and Sciences at my employer. Ring the bell. All right. Lawrence Technological University. We'll be back with our next segment in just a moment. But for right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast on the PodcastDetroit.com network.
Lawrence Technological University is all about opportunities. You learn beyond the campus, doing real-world research for top companies and honing your skills through co-ops and internships. Apply what you learn. Be challenged. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
What do you get at Lawrence Technological University? Everything. Great labs and studios, supportive professors, plus a full campus life, NAIA athletics, and all the software you need to succeed. Be smart. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we are back with another fun-filled segment of the M Squared TechCast. We've got one of our favorite guests, and it's been too long since you've been here, Amanda Lawan, co-founder and CEO of Bamboo Detroit, the fabulous co-working space in Detroit.
Fabulous.
And you've got a report to share.
Yes, so I do.
What's
Thank
the report
you.
Say?
So we just took our first stab at trying to measure the economic impact of a shared office space. So what happens when you bring hundreds of people from all over, all different industries together? We think it's good for them. Turns out it is. We found some good numbers to measure, kind of just give us a rough idea and outline of what that impact is. So in total, our members who are often founders, CEOs of local companies, or ahead of a regional or national company, we found out that they're generating $74 million in revenue every year.
Yikes.
But what's kind of important about that is they have an influence over this money and they care about spending it locally. So 75% of those people said that they prefer to spend money locally in Detroit and Metro Detroit and hire local people to work with, which I think our next guest, Danielle, can kind of talk about, too, being an entrepreneur. There's a lot of like this B2B support and business in the Detroit community, and that can turn into dollars for your business. And then we also found out about 80% of our members do hire each other and refer business to them. And that on average, one member hires up to 4 part or full-time employees every year, which, you know, that number might change based on the entrepreneur and their business. So it's just kind of great to try to take a look at what is the local impact we might be making here as we support all of these small businesses and startups in downtown Detroit. We want to see them grow and spend their money here. That's how the economy is going to keep growing for us.
So you have how many members now?
We have over 200, kind of inching our way close to 250 now. All different kinds of people. A lot of times they're heads of national nonprofits or startups and small businesses, individual creatives and consultants, and they're all working together in downtown Detroit.
And 28% of them make at least $500,000 a year. I think that number leaped out at me, which surprised me a bit.
Yeah, so what we saw was that, you know, it's not just, even though shared office space environments and business communities help those early stage companies, later stage companies take advantage of it too, because they're tied to all this great talent and they get to have an easy way to have a satellite office downtown. So I think that reflects how we've grown. We now have a couple floors of private offices. We just opened a new floor about a month ago, mm-hmm. and we're starting to attract more of those established companies too, which is great because they can mentor and invest and hire the smaller companies as
sure.
well. So
makes
it makes
sense.
It a good environment. We were surprised to see that too. That was cool.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're looking to expand more now?
Well, right now we just opened our fourth floor of private offices. Right. We just have two left. So we think we'll be full again by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And then no updates yet on what we'll be doing next.
But Dan Gilbert has a lot of space for rent, so I'm sure he'd be willing to work with you, right? So. But you actually have your own real estate arm. You work with a big real estate operation. That's your co-founder,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, my co-founder has a smaller family-run real estate company.
Right.
And we're in a locally owned building. It's owned by a woman entrepreneur, Sharon Madison.
Mm-hmm.
Her family has a great history of that, too. So we love that. We love supporting local ourselves as a company.
Sure.
It really is authentic to Detroit and like why we're here. But we have some really cool events coming up too that we'd love to invite everybody at this table and listening to. Tomorrow we have our big community potluck. So
Ooh.
We don't really do anything too close to the holidays because we know it gets hectic for people. So we just do one big family potluck dinner where we're partnering with Food Lab Detroit and Build, which are two other great small business community support networks. So we're going to have local food, Cajun turkey, all kinds of fun stuff.
Wow.
Totally open for anyone to come. That's tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've been hosting a startup accelerator called Startup Boost. And so our eight tech companies are going to be pitching at our demo day on the 28th. So that's open for anyone to come as well, particularly if you're an entrepreneur or an investor.
What day of the week is that?
Tuesday night, the 28th of November.
Maybe I'll bring my video gear down and shoot some people. Not It'll literally, of course. You got to be careful how you say that these days, you know.
So, so we have eight. That's been a really fun program too. So, which is, you know, unique and awesome to have. It's a global mentorship program that
right.
helps early stage tech companies polish their pitches mm-hmm. and get them ready for that first investor mm. or that top accelerator. Like we want to see them get into Y Combinator and 500 startups and. So we have some really cool companies in that.
Yeah. I don't know if I probably shouldn't say this because I'm privy to some information that Dave Phillips is working on. But actually, Mark Cuban has approached Dave about doing a Michigan Shark Tank. So he
that
wants
would be
me
great.
To. I'm going to the Michigan Venture Capital Association dinner on Wednesday night, and he wants me to buttonhole Maureen Miller Brosnan to let her know, right?
Well, so. We'll be in the large event space in our building. Holds 200 to 300. So if you need a space
okay.
to do it, that
yes.
would be a good format for
yeah.
it. It's called
nice.
The Loft of 1420. It's kind of like a hidden gem.
Ooh.
Nobody knows that it's there.
Now, the okay. one downside, because I just parked at Little Caesars Arena last week. Oh, my God, $40. So what? I thought she was kidding.
Success
she said
comes
that.
With a price,
pulled
Michael.
In, she goes, $40. And I go, I'm not buying the place. I'm just going to park my car here. So, which brings me to that other issue, having myself
you
worked
should.
Downtown for you, 4 years.
You should have just parked on the street
I
a couple
know.
Blocks away,
I
paid
know.
A dollar an hour on the app, and yep. walked it, and
I
not
know.
Leave anything too fancy in your car.
I know. Well, I have to go back Wednesday, so I've learned my lesson.
But that is one thing they have done downtown is they have taken a lot of streets that used to be four lane that didn't really need to be four lane
yeah.
and made them two lane with parking in a bike lane. And that's a great move to, I think, make the city more walkable, create more parking that's reasonably priced. And,
right. Yeah, and we've got our new little rail car so you can park farther away
that's
and
right.
hop on it, which means you can find free parking farther away.
Yep.
So there's lots of ways to do it. I think parking is something that the city has to tackle and
yeah.
keep thinking about as it grows.
It's crazy.
Parking, when we first opened a few years ago, it was $100 a month to buy a spot. Now it's
$200.
But I think that's going to also go down. More and more stuff comes online and it evens out.
Yeah, that would be so you're solving that. You've got places in it, less expensive places for folks to park then, right?
Yeah, it's pretty. You can still find affordable parking. And I think the value is, I mean, if you want to be downtown, that's part of it.
It is. Yes, indeed.
All right. So what's the next event after the two you just mentioned?
the Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow yeah. night. and the Startup Boost Demo Day on the 28th are two big ones for November. After that, we kind of take a break. Oh, we do actually have a really cool speaker coming up in December.
Cool.
Stacy, the Brown Phillips, she's the CEO of TaskRabbit, and she's a native Detroiter. So she grew up in Detroit. She was COO of TaskRabbit, which is a Silicon Valley startup.
Mm-hmm.
She's now CEO, and I think she led it through its recent acquisition to IKEA, which was kind of interesting. So we're actually live streaming a talk with her at Bamboo. I believe that's the 5th or 6th. It's listed on our calendar.
Of December. So is that like your holiday party then? Or?
No. That's just going to be a really inspiring talk with a native Detroiter who's doing some kick-ass stuff. So we love that. We love seeing native Detroiters succeed and making them accessible to our community.
So are you having a holiday party?
That was our Thanksgiving.
I wasn't sure if you're going to have a Christmas, Hanukkah, whatever party.
No, we don't do anything. It ends up being pretty chill at Bamboo around the holidays. People are busy with a lot of other stuff going on. So.
Got it. Okay.
All right. So where do you see this organization in like a year or two? I mean, are you planning out that far ahead, or what's your planning horizon?
Yeah, so I think we're going to keep growing in our building with the market rate and just kind of listening and seeing how our customers grow. So we might expand a little bit more in our current building, working on getting maybe an anchor tenant or two and launching, kind of elevating all of our programming for startups and small businesses. So keep an eye out for more accelerators, more intense programming that can help folks working on their business. And then, yeah, we do want to open other locations in Metro Detroit. So we're kind of just putting our feelers out for that, too.
Hey, sort of a competitor. I don't know if you view them as a competitor, but Planet M Landing Zone opened a month ago, I guess. But that's really autonomous vehicles, that sort of thing. Do you see them as a competitor?
Yeah, so I just talked to the Chamber the other day. I think what they're doing is super unique. They're trying to be a landing zone for global companies that are in that space, opening offices all around the world and just give them like an access point to Detroit for mobility. I think that's super great. We're not specifically focused. We do have some mobility companies at Bamboo, but I think it's great to have some sort of like, you know, marketing push towards those bigger companies.
Because they're affiliated with WeWork and they're in like 500 cities around the world or something like that.
Yeah, definitely. So that we see our approach as a little bit more designed for startups and small businesses. Mm-hmm. WeWork tends to be very expensive and kind of exclusive feel.
I think $250 is the minimum buy-in because I ask, how much is this thing going for? And he goes, it starts at $250.
Yeah, and a lot of times their offices are like $500 a person. So if you're a five-person office, you're paying like almost $3,000 a month. So we see ourselves as inclusive and accessible and a little bit more, you know, affordable for that small business or
startup. We're winding now. We have to do the shameless plug thing here. So they want to know more. You got them all excited. Where do they go to find out more?
Yeah, come check us out at bamboodetroit.com and then /events if you want to come join us for those couple events we talked about.
Okay.
So you better get busy in the kitchen if you want to make that potluck tomorrow night.
That's it. Yeah, I'm going to whip up that meatball dish or something, right?
Okay. I was thinking my homemade stale bread stuffing, but I don't have enough time to make the bread stale. So,
yeah,
you know,
right.
Bread's got to be dried out, you know.
Maybe you can get started right after the show.
Okay. Leave it out overnight.
Leave it out overnight. Just keep the birds away from it as well.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Amanda Luan, CEO and co-founder of the great Detroit networking space, co-working space, Bamboo Detroit.
Yep.
And we'll be right back with another segment of the M Squared TechCast. Right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're on the PodcastDetroit.com network.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU 5th among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
As a Lawrence Technological University graduate, you're not only marketable, you're worth more. Yes, more. According to payscale.com, when it comes to graduate salaries, LTU is in America's top 100. Be invaluable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast, the only podcast you're listening to right now.
We hope so, anyway.
Well, maybe. You might be listening to more than one. There is multitasking.
Yes, and, so. And contrary to my sheet, which I'm looking at, it's not timber share.
Okay.
I'm not sure where that R came from. I was in a hurry, apparently. So, timber share. Who's on every week? Every week? Like every week. Every month? Could be every week.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know.
I'm starting to worry now.
We like it. We like it. It's all right.
I didn't even have a beer, like I said. I should have. That would have calmed me down. So anyway, she's on every month. She's always bringing in someone from the Engage program, which is part of Inforum. Go ahead and tell them. They may not have heard of it, so why don't you go ahead and tell them.
May not have heard of it. So Engage is Inforum Michigan. It's our strategy to position Michigan as a Midwest hub for high-growth women entrepreneurs. The particular program we're really vested in is our masterclass. It's a facilitated peer-to-peer founders forum for emerging second-stage women entrepreneurs. This particular program started in 2012. Since we've started it, we've had 89 women entrepreneurs go through the program. They've created 38 brand-new companies, 304 jobs, been granted 35 patents, and this group of women has gone on to raise $41.3 million in follow-on funding and $9 million in government contracts.
So you'd say pretty
successful.
Those numbers
keep getting every month you come back, those numbers are bigger. That's wonderful.
They are, which is terrific. Yeah.
Wow. And you have, speaking of Bamboo Detroit, for those who are listening, we had Amanda Luan, the CEO and co-founder of Bamboo Detroit, on earlier, the previous segment. And so now we have one of the Bamboo Detroit occupants, or I'm not sure what you call it, members?
Tenants.
Or tenants.
Tenant, co-worker,
whatever,
entrepreneur.
Yes. Come up with a word, right? And go ahead and introduce her.
Members. Absolutely. Thanks so much for having us again this month, guys. I have with me today Danielle Smith. She just completed the Engage Masterclass in 2017. Before she started her company, which is called Detroit Made, M-A-I-D, she realized that, you know, as a neatnik, as myself, and I know a couple of you are too, that there just wasn't a service in Detroit that was actually fulfilling her needs or actually being able to service her in Detroit. Ooh. So she saw an opportunity, as many entrepreneurs do, and she decided to give it her all and go for it. She's also a really shining example of this cohesiveness in the entrepreneurial community in Detroit, which Amanda was talking about in the last segment, because Danielle actually started with her ideation at Build Institute, which is a good friend of ours. She actually is co-working at Bamboo Detroit, and then she just completed the Engage Masterclass. So it's kind of a series of progressive steps towards where they want to go, and we're all very, very inclusive about making sure the entrepreneurs get there.
Huh.
Yeah. So a couple of things to note. This is a fun fact. She actually had her first commercial contract when the movie Transformers was being filmed in Detroit. So she got a firsthand great big contract right away. She's been on the PBS television show Startup, featured in Fortune magazine's article on the growing group of African American startups in our country as a whole. And she's been on Joanne Purton's Mom's a Genius show.
Wow, I didn't know you were a media celebrity as well.
I don't know about all that.
Oh, okay.
All that. So, and she's fresh off a win for the Southeast Michigan Dolphin Tank competition from literally just last Wednesday evening.
Yeah, so very exciting.
So tell us a little bit about Dolphin Tank.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with it either.
Yeah, how is it different from Shark Tank?
So it's
non-carnivorous or something? No, wait, dolphins eat, I don't know.
Well, yeah, it's actually a local version of Shark, similar to Shark Tank, and it's exclusive to women. So it's an initiative of the Michigan Women's Foundation, and I actually heard about it through the Engage Masterclass. So it's really a really great example of the interconnectivity in this entrepreneurial ecosystem.
And which city is it based in? Detroit?
Based in Detroit, but they actually do it statewide.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
So there was actually one in Jackson, one in Grand Rapids, mm-hmm. and we just recently finished the Detroit Dolphin Tank.
So that's where you competed in Detroit?
Yeah, won the growth category for Detroit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great way to come up with a quick $10,000, right?
Definitely.
Geez, yeah. So Bahamas for Christmas now, right? So,
exactly.
Yeah, okay.
So, Danielle, really quickly, when you started your business, how did you quickly go to gaining credibility in your ecosystem of cleaning companies and...
Sure. You know what? It was really about relationships. I think in Detroit, we're in a really unique space in that there's a lot of support for small businesses. So Build Institute as an incubator was really a catalyst for helping to kind of helping me to reach out to other organizations and connecting me with other groups that would sort of add that trust factor, which is really important in, you know, service industries. You know, there are people that are coming into your home. So you want to know that there's a reputable company that's coming. So a lot of our business initially, it was and is referral based. And so that sort of, it was sort of a snowball effect. You know, the relationships continue to develop as we continue to, you know, become a little bit more familiar through Good Housekeeping magazine or Channel 7 or some of the other local media outlets. People came to know enough to want to dig deeper and learn that we're, you know, we provide a really, you know, we provide great quality service and that we're really committed to the city.
Absolutely. Absolutely. How did you deal in the early days with failure?
Well, you know what? I'm still learning every single day. But one of my mentors, she told me, and I know it's pretty common knowledge that, you know, that we hear it all the time. And I'd love to hear it again all the time, but to fail early and often. And I feel like that's some of the best advice I've ever received. So we've, you know, initially, I think I've had a little bit of a nervousness to sort of, you know, pull the trigger on entrepreneurship or certain decisions. And starting Detroit Made was actually one of the first things that kind of helped me to sort of be okay with fear and to just push through, to feel the fear and to do it anyway. You know, like, okay, so we made it a year. We're still here. Okay, 2 years, three. We're approaching five now. We're still here, you know, so, and we've had lots of hiccups and pivots, and we're still here, still thriving and still growing. So I think that's something that's really important for entrepreneurs to recognize.
That problem today.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. It's a Monday.
Absolutely. That's 5 years. Congratulations.
Thank you so very much.
I can't believe it. Can't believe it. How has your business changed since you started? Where's your growth been and where do you see it in the future?
Sure. Okay. So most recently, we've added commercial services. We started out as a residential service and late in the third year, kind of more solidly in the fourth year, we expanded to include commercial service, which is something that we're growing in pretty rapidly. We kind of tried it out initially and then leaned back more into the residential space. And so we picked it back up during the first year. We learned from some of those earlier mistakes. And so that commercial sector is growing pretty quickly. We're really excited about scaling nationally and kind of piloting within Michigan. And then the next step is to expand further into the Midwest and so on.
Let me, since you can't, well, you could ask this question, but I'm going to be the devil's advocate. So the Engage program, do that really feel like that sets you up for your growth and everything?
Absolutely.
See, I'm going to set you up for a little. Throw that softball in, she can hit
right,
it out
we
of
can
the
ding
park.
That bell. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, yeah.
So when I heard about the Engage program and I thought, oh, this is going to be a really great, you know, program for business owners. You know, why not? Sounds great. Sounds cool. It's all women. Awesome. When I actually took part in the program, it was beyond what I had even imagined. You know, it's always great to enhance your technical skills and, you know, learn more about nuances of, you know, entrepreneurship. But the support and the encouragement and just the camaraderie among classmates and the support that Timber provided and Patty and so many other people who are a part of the Engage Masterclass and in Forum, it was invaluable. And it still is invaluable.
What a testimonial, Timber. You know?
Amazing, amazing.
Did you give her that $100 yet? Or?
Okay. Checks in the mail.
Okay.
One thing that we did, each cohort's a little bit different. So the different things we do, we had a really fun thing in this past cohort that Danielle was a part of where we were doing the pitches. We were pitching your company. Remember that with just the photos? We just did the photos and you had to kind of figure out how to use those photos to talk about your business. And it was really great exercise to prepare for a pitch competition.
Mm-hmm. She was drawing a blank there for a second.
It took a second. We learned so much.
Yes.
So how did something like that help you where you're thinking on your feet and really just kind of making it up as you went along in a stressful situation?
Definitely. I think more than anything, it kind of made it okay to fail and pivot to kind of push through. So, you know, each exercise that we did during the Engage program, we sort of, a lot of us, me for just about every activity, sort of fumbled through initially, like, wait a minute, I'm not sure if I know how to do this right. And then by the end, there was a comfort level, and it was okay to not know, you know. And we found that, you know, the more open we were about not knowing something, the better, the more, you know, ready we were to learn and more able to learn. So I think that that kind of primed, you know, primed me and the other entrepreneurs for the next steps in our respective fields. So, definitely for Dolphin Tank, you know, had a couple of, trip ups during my pitch and just powered through. And I can attribute that to, you know, folks that Engage and Build and, you know, even coworkers at Bamboo.
The failure mode here is something that's new to Michigan. People, you know, it used to be when I was growing up, oh my God, if you failed, you know, go, you're banished kind of thing.
Right.
But then I spent 10 years on the West Coast, and that's just what happens, you know, it doesn't work. Okay, well, try the different way, you know, so that's good that they instill that in you.
Definitely. One of the, I'll just kind of give a shameless plug to Build Institute really quickly. Early on in during Build Institute, they gave a statistic that was really startling to me. We've all heard the statistic that most businesses fail in under 5 years, in the first 5 years. A statistic that we don't hear as often is that 85% of businesses fail by not starting because people are afraid to actually implement whatever idea or plan they have. So, you know, keeping that in mind has been helpful to me that, you know, it won't hurt to just try it.
Yep. I started this MI Tech News 17 years ago.
That's awesome.
With my severance package from the Free Press. And, you know, look where I am now. I'm multi-millionaire, right? No. But it's been an interesting ride.
That's awesome.
Very interesting ride. So, Danielle, I heard you mention something about national.
Yes.
What are your thoughts about going national?
Well, we're excited that it will happen. And, you know, we kind of, sort of the motivation is that I noticed that in doing the research for business planning, the needs for a service just as, you know, straightforward and basic as cleaning, isn't as easy to access as I would have thought that it would be. And so to be able to provide that nationally is something that we're really excited about, and it'll look different from state to state.
Amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
All right. So we've only got about a minute left. Time for one more hit on Engage. Talk about where folks can come. And then, of course, where they can come to get more information about Detroit Made. Go ahead.
Inform. It's in Forum, Michigan, spelled out, .org. And Detroit Made?
Detroit Made is Detroit Made, M-A-I-D, .us. So that's DetroitMade.us. And we're on all social media platforms as @ Detroit Made.
All right. Detroit Made. Okay.
Thank you very much. Danielle Smith, founder and CEO of Detroit Made, and Timber Shea, not Timber Shear.
I like Shear. I think it's a good one.
Okay. Well, we'll look into that.
Yeah.
So, okay. But thank you both very much for another interesting segment. We'll be right back with the next one. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared Tech Cast.
Lawrence Technological University is more than a school. It's a launchpad for your future, offering industry-leading facilities and 100-plus programs that are ranked among the nation's best. Be unstoppable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back with our final segment today on the M Squared TechCast. We have a fellow I think I first met at Walsh College when you were doing Social Media 101 back when social media was new. So that was probably 12 years ago, maybe 13, something like that.
It was a while ago, man. And we had been following each other before that. But I think face to face, that was the first time. Nine inches of snow.
Is that like trolling?
Anyway.
You were trolling each other? Or?
Hey, man, yeah, remember, Great Lakes IT Report. Yeah, come on. Yeah, if you didn't read Matt back in the day.
That's right.
The late and lamented, right, or unlamented by some people. But anyway, we're talking about Terry Bean. I guess I got to remember his name, mention his name. That's, you know, a radio basic. That's
add an R to it. It's kind of cool. It's a theme, right? Terry Bean-er. And then now all of a sudden we're in trouble. You can't even say that anymore.
Yeah, we have to change your... we have to change your name now.
I
back
can't
to
laugh
Bean.
And
back
drink
to Bean.
Water
please.
At the same time.
Okay. All right. Okay. But Terry, you have a guest here today. Terry is the founder of Motor City Connect, and he's been putting people together in the tech sector in Detroit for forever, basically, since there's been a tech sector in Detroit
since I think 1890s or something, right? So.
Now we're just dropping things. This is how I do it. I just kind of make a mess of everything.
He's streaming live here to somewhere.
I'm trying to. We're going to be on Facebook Live. Steve Sadler's like full frame, and I'm going to try and hold this
full frame
interview,
Steve Sadler.
Have a conversation, and you know, make
without
that
jiggling the phone too. Right?
That's beyond multitasking. That's multimediaing.
Multimediaing.
Oh, and we finally have
Jessica.
We finally have the
Jessica.
Look at that nose.
Visible. That's the Jessica cam. All right, I like it.
Say hi, Matt.
Hey.
Look at that.
All right.
Such frivolity here.
Yes, such professionalism, not to mention. But we do have fun with it.
Jessica disappeared. You guys catch that? Vapor.
Now, you got to wait till she's not has their hand over her face, and then you catch her real fast. So.
Don't do that.
Anything to embarrass me.
Oh, and we forgot about our guest here.
There's somebody else here? Holy cow, look
at
that guy.
All right.
Yeah, this is the guy with the patent here.
The smart guy in the room is the one we're not going to talk about,
right?
For obvious reasons. All right, so I'm holding this end of the conversation down. Is that what's going on?
Right with it, baby.
All right, cool. Okay. Well, then allow me to introduce the esteemed Mr. Steven Sadler. Speaking of entrepreneur, and I'm going to see if I can screw that word up at some point during this particular segment.
Spell it for me, right?
It's got an E and a U and a couple other letters. I know
I'm
that.
Damn French, you know.
Steve is a serial entrepreneur outside of Battle Creek, Michigan.
I was going to say, that would be my next joke. A little rim shot there.
Absolutely. I'll take care of all the jokes here today,
okay,
Mike. I got this.
Okay.
Steve's an inventor. He's an engineer. He's an author, and he's launched at least 5 different businesses, created tons of really cool software. We're only going to really focus on one, but I'll give you a little tease. We're going to be putting together all of them in a fund at some point and doing a little ICO, so an initial crypto offering.
I'm not sure what that is. What is that?
That's what the cool kids are talking about these days.
Right.
Steve, go ahead. Tell them what an ICO is.
It's initial coin offering.
A crypto coin.
Now I get it.
That's it.
You gotta get a little slow today. All right, crypto coin. Yeah. Okay.
Hey, man, I'm just a photographer here. Hold on.
Yeah, it's the new age IPOs. So I guess that's as detailed as you can get to it. But,
no SEC to worry about.
Well, not currently, but I'm sure that's coming down the pipe pretty soon. So,
Steve, tell the audience a little bit about your background, how you got into the software business, and we're gonna talk about IgniteCast here, but tell us about the other stuff you've done too.
Well, I started in computer aided design many years ago back in Canada, and kind of worked my way up through the ranks as an engineer. Along came the robotics. Trend, I would probably say around 93, 94. And I got into programming robots. And so I started to learn a lot of ways of, logic and that type of thing and PLCs and robots. And around 95, the internet hit and I was basically mesmerized by it. And I started building applications inside the company that I was currently working with in HTML and, obviously HTML1, very basic. Back on Netscape when, if you can remember.
I remember Netscape, yes.
And by 2001, I was I kind of had enough of the automotive industry, and I walked out of the door of a pretty nice paying job, comfortable job, and took the path of entrepreneurship, which I've been doing now for, almost 17 years. I did, go back into the automotive industry just recently for a very short period of time, and I realized that it's just not for me. I really need to stick with what we've been
very
doing.
Very conservative, very hidebound kind of thinking.
And the interesting thing about it, and it's going to dovetail into what we're talking about, it's like, where are all the people gone? Where are the talented people gone? And it's because knowledge has just walked right out the door.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at the technology that I you know invented back in around 2005, and I'm thinking to myself, if companies would have adopted this more, maybe a lot of that a lot of the tool and die and the robotics and that kind of experience wouldn't have left, and we wouldn't be in the kind of a mess that we are right now of trying to find people and fill jobs, and it's academic or. It's a problem, a real problem in the industry. So,
right, because of how they train traditionally, you got one person going out and training a group of people at a time, and there's no continuous learning, and it's not real easy to adapt and move forward. Mm-hmm. And you don't necessarily have the best people doing that training to begin with.
Right.
So you've solved that problem with your knowledge capture tool.
Well, as long as you have the right subject matter person that's capturing their knowledge. I think the problem in the past is there wasn't the tools or the bandwidth to be able to capture that knowledge and actually disseminate it to, you know, people just sitting into the cube beside or be at a plant that's, you know, 3 or 4 miles or across the planet. And now that the internet's obviously a lot faster than it was, you know, at 14.4 when I was working with
You old guys know what that means, don't you?
Right.
I don't know. I didn't get that joke.
Yeah. No.
I think my first modem ever was at the Traverse City Record Eagle. It was on a big satellite dish that we got our AP news feed from, and it was a blistering 2400 baud.
Whoa. So. Yeah. Dang.
Yep.
Took 2 hours for a picture to download.
Well,
right?
We didn't do pictures. It was strictly for text.
No one had that kind of time.
Yeah, yes. Pictures were still overnighted at that point.
Oh, yeah, good point. Yeah. So I was asking you when you came in to kind of – because Terry had given me some basic stuff, but I went on your website and looked at it. But walk us through exactly how it works. It's not real complicated, but I didn't quite understand exactly how it works.
No, the simplest way to explain it, it's a media stitcher. So basically all of us know how to make media today. Back when I first created this, it was a lot more difficult for people to take screenshots or – you know, record their screen or, you know, take a photo or a video or any of that type of thing.
Yeah,
or like Terry's doing right now by trying to embarrass me on Facebook.
Yep. Yeah,
so
he's good at that. So.
I try and embarrass him everywhere we go.
Oh, yeah,
I have a long history of this.
Yes.
But the thing that the social media really brought to the table is small little pieces of information. And if you take that, it's just knowledge in many cases. And if you stitch that all together, you can actually create courses out of it. And so what we've done is we've taken that idea and stitched together the similar pieces of media to create courses that can result in your knowledge being captured. So if I'm a robotic welder on the shop floor, I can actually record step by step on how I actually welded a part using a robot with the human to machine interfaces and so on and so on. So that really could never be done before. So we built a desktop application that's actually moved into mobile that allows you to be able to, you know, capture that knowledge very, very quickly and then disseminate it through ignitecast.com, which is kind of I got to say it's more like YouTube than it is a learning management system. And it actually was invented before YouTube back in 2004. And it allows you to make playlists and it allows you to make channels and, you know, all of that cool stuff that, you know, people now have come accustomed to in social media. But really, it stems really back from education and training.
So how does this differ from like a Camtasia, which is also a Michigan product, by the way?
Correct. So, and Camtasia is a great tool. And I use it to do certain things. Our patent is a very simplistic method. Instead of having to record the entire full screen, you don't need to do that all the time. So we patented a process. This is going back to 2004 again, that was point, and I hate to use the term shoot action, right? Because that's what it is. So you point something on the screen or you point your camera at something, you shoot, and then you take an action and you repeat that process over and over again. And it becomes very, very easy to be able to capture what you're doing without having to be somewhat highly technical or whatever, without having to do any video editing, which is another problem with other tools. And then that's the idea. I mean, I taught Terry in literally, you know, 10 minutes and he was off creating what we call ignitables. And it was funny because back before social media was around, we had no idea what to call these small nuggets of learning or information. So we called them ignitables. And then the term social media came around. I'm like, that's what it is.
Let me ask you, let's say a big company wants to, a lot of people are retiring or whatever, correct, they want to capture proprietary information. Can that be structured so that it would be internal only?
Absolutely, and we do have, the system is set up as a public system and also a white-labeled, brandable enterprise application, which we do have large corporations actually using it and capturing knowledge. And that's one of the things we're trying to expand now. I'm very focused on that, working with Terry to do that. So it's pretty exciting.
Actually, the customer list is pretty impressive. You want to rattle off a couple of the companies that have IgniteCast inside of their doors?
Yeah, I mean, Takata's gone through a lot of problems over the years, but they've been using IgniteCast for a long time. And it's really helped them specifically with some of the issues that they've dealt with.
Have they figured out what's wrong there?
Well, you know, when you have, there's always going to be issues in this world, and it's how do you stop those issues very quickly, especially in instances like that. It's about sharing knowledge and getting it out there. But no, there's hundreds of thousands of licenses of the desktop application worldwide for Ignite, and
I didn't realize.
Yep, yeah, there's a lot.
It's interesting. It's like a startup, but with 14 years of experience simultaneously.
Yeah.
You know, realistically, when I first met Steve back in 2008, 2009 timeframe at a TICON conference that we just had here in the last week, you know, Steve was already moving into the social media space, and he was doing that because he wanted to market this technology. And as because Google was so expensive to pay for the pay-per-click and all the AdWords stuff, so he built technology that's almost like what Hootsuite is today. And then kind of took a shift, man, started to ride the social media wave. I told you, he invented six different products.
Mm-hmm.
So spent some time in the social media, and IgniteCast just kind of chugged along and did its own thing.
Hmm.
Had customers re-up and doing their thing. But now, like he said earlier, with the way the technology's advanced, with the way the internet's advanced, with the way these tools that I'm holding in my hand, this little mobile phone, right now we can actually do training anywhere, anytime. It's like this is the perfect time to focus and kind of, I don't even want to say reinvent because I don't think that's the right word. What would you say?
It's just expand on where we were at. I mean,
So the actual shooting device, can you do it with a smartphone?
Hey, absolutely. I actually have I use my iPhone because Terry's using it. What are you using?
One of the cool phones.
Oh, okay.
I use my iPhone and I have a Dropbox account directly set up on there. So I capture all of my media. It ties directly to my desktop application. And I can build Ignitables literally in minutes and just start sharing them out. And as soon as they're shared, not unlike YouTube, it'll track scores. You can put quizzes behind it. You can do all other cool stuff that you can obviously do on YouTube.
So you're in a factory setting.
Yes.
Actually, we need to talk afterwards because I'm working on a project where this might really fit in.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you who they are, but anyway, so you're in a factory setting and you want to record, you know, how to fix a certain problem. Then if somebody wants to view that afterwards, and again, in a proprietary setting and not on the internet, how would they do that?
It's the same way. We actually create a VPN tunnel between our cloud system and the internal system. We actually use Okta authentication, which most of the military uses and high-end encryption.
So this is encrypted then?
Absolutely.
Like 280 kind of bit?
Yeah.
All right. Wow, that's good. Because, again, we'll have to talk afterwards. I have something where this might slide right in. 2 minutes to go. So we get them all excited. We should tell them a little bit about where they can find out more information. Yeah, Terry?
Absolutely. You know, on the web, you can find us easily at ignitecast.com, IgniteCast.com. You know, we're on Facebook and we're on LinkedIn. Certainly, we've got some Twitter stuff going on.
Wow.
Where'd you come up with the name IgniteCast? How did that happen?
Well, the desktop application is called Ignite. And we have a registered trademark on that. That goes back to around 2005. And then originally the Ignitables could only be deployed, you know, locally because there was no place to put them. And it just seemed like the natural thing was like we're going to be casting these things out. So we attached Ignite and cast, and that was it.
Beautiful.
Okay. And shameless plug for Motor City Connect here.
Motor City Connect coming up. Next event's November 28th at BD's. We're doing a little partnership. We're going to be over on the west side in Northville at Bravo. on Wednesday, November 15th.
Much easier for me to get
much
to.
Much easier. Yes, Bravo.
I'm an AA guy, you know, and I don't mean Alcoholics Anonymous, although maybe should
I
be,
was
right?
going to say, speaking of AA, we're doing a happy hour December 12th at Uptown.
Uptown
Grill and Commerce. So that'll
well,
be a good
you go.
Time, too.
Okay.
So, yeah, here, I'll actually put me on. Hi.
Hi, that's Terry, yeah, in case no one's now, quick, the Jessica can.
Oh, boom! Oh, look, she knew
oh,
was
so close.
So close. Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot, gentlemen. We want to thank all of our guests here today. Terry Bean from Motor City Connect, Steven Sadler from IgniteCast, Ted Burchet from Inforum, and Daniel Smith from Detroit Made, Bamboo Detroit co-founder and CEO, and Amanda Luan. And we started the show with the dean of the College of Arts and Sciences from my employer, Lawrence
Most
Tech.
Impressive.
Yeah. Xiaoping Moore talking about a variety of new programs going on at Lawrence Tech, including a really cool grant from the Howard Hughes Medical Institute.
Yeah.
Michigan and Michigan State didn't get one, we did.
Yeah, I knew that was going to come up, right?
All right. So. All right.
And now, is Lawrence Tech going to be on Michigan's schedule anytime soon?
Actually, our first football game next year.
Yeah.
I love telling people this.
Okay.
Our first football game next year, where we're playing a limited schedule, is against Michigan State.
No kidding.
But wow. It's against their club team.
Oh, okay. All right.
So that's how we're starting out.
That's why you got to have them. That's why you got to have them nurses on the team, right?
But they still, yeah, they wear the same helmets with the Spartan on them and everything. So it'll be. That'll be interesting, but that'll be at the point at Lawrence Tech sometime, I think it's late August or early September. They haven't firmed up the schedule yet.
Sounds like a real cocktail party kind of event.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. But, yes, we are starting football at Lawrence Tech, and if you're a smart kid who wants to continue playing football in college, you know, but is more worried about his education than ever making the NFL, we'd love to talk to you.
See, Bruce, he is giving you a plug.
All right. All right, that's it for this week. Until next week at 3 p.m. Eastern Time for the M Squared TechCast. This is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.